Let's pray.
Lord, thank you so much, Lord, for giving us songs to sing, even if we're going through shadows, Lord. Thank you that we can sing your glory, your mercy, even through the bad times. Father, I pray, Lord, that you, at this moment, just speak through me, Father. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill every single person here with your Holy Spirit and guide us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture for today is Colossians 1, verse 11 through 20. Hear now the word of the Lord. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. So today marks Christ the King Sunday, and it's such a blessing to be able to be here with you guys and kind of wrestle with the meaning of that. It was an interesting week because I was simultaneously preparing for this sermon and also preparing to propose to my girlfriend. And so I was kind of like I have to spend 20 minutes working on the proposal, 20 minutes working on the sermon, I have to just keep going back and forth. But I did it, so I'm here today. Thank you. Yes, it's an awesome honor to be here and to talk about Christ as King. And so we often see Jesus as Savior, as Healer, as Comforter, as a friend. We're going to focus and hone in on him as King and what that means for us. So Paul wrote Colossians, this letter, to the church at Colossae because there was a Colossian named Epaphras joined him. So he joined him, he came to be with him, and he had to have some bad news about the church that he was coming from. He was saying that there was a teaching that was threatening the church. So in layman's term, he kind of came up to Paul and was like, yo, Paul, not going to lie, they're doing something weird over there. They're kind of tripping, you know, I don't know what's going on, but here, I'm here to tell you, right? And so scholars suspect that the problem was that some of the local folk beliefs were that people were calling on angels in like different like rites and rituals to kind of ward off evil spirits. And so this was, to him, this was devaluing Christ and instead focusing on just rituals, kind of almost like maybe like burning a special candle or something to like do a good vibe, energy, like shield themselves from like spirits and stuff. And so they weren't looking to Christ. They were looking to other things that might look a little bit cooler or might interest them more. And so in Paul, like always, he had to reply. He had to start writing that encouraging diss track that he always sends churches when they're messing up, right? And so he emphasized that Jesus was Lord over all human rulers and that he was over all cosmic powers, all rulers. And he urged them to be mature as Christians so that nobody could just come up in there and lead them astray and make them worship anything other than Christ. So Paul wanted it to get through their head that Jesus is King, that any other tradition, religious regulation, whatever it may be, was meaningless. So Paul knew the importance of a life exalting Christ. So Christ as King is a truth about Jesus' character that has the potential to change our lives forever if we truly live like it. Because Jesus is King is one of those Christian sayings that we just say, you know, of course, yes, Jesus is King, God is good all the time. But what does that look like? What does it look like to live that out? Are we just saying that? It's one of those things where you can easily say it, but if someone looks at your life, what can they see? If we spend some time, just right now, just searching our hearts, we might be disappointed. I know I am. You search our hearts. Is Jesus truly my King? Truly. When you wake up in the morning, what's the first thing that you think of? What's the first thing that you do? Do you just like reach over your phone and like almost dislocate your shoulder while you're trying to reach for it? Just to get that random blast of news or TikTok or Instagram or whatever? Or are you like worried about how your job is gonna go, how the hobby is going, like what you're gonna do today? Who or what dictates how your day is gonna go? Is it gonna be good or bad? I know when I was a young lad, many years ago, I'm ancient now, so that's fine. So my mom, who's here today, so my mom, she would come into my room on a weekday, right? And so she would, I had to go to school. And so she would come into my room in the mornings, she'd turn the light on, and she'd be like, okay, it's time to go to school, right? It's time for school. And so of course, me being like a 13-year-old, I would be up all night, kind of the night before, on my DS or something, or like, I don't know, looking at my phone. And so then when she would leave the room to go and make like breakfast or something, I would be like, I need to get at least an extra 2 minutes of sleep. And so she would leave the room, I would lay down, and then I would just be trying to get like as many snooze as I could. And then she would, as soon as I heard those footsteps coming, as soon as I heard them, I would get up out the bed, like I'll put a shirt on, it would be backwards, a color on my face or something, and then my head would be like on cyclone mode, and I'd just be like, yes, yes, mommy, yes, I'm ready, I'm here. Like you'd think I was in boot camp or something. So, and my mom, I love my mom, super sweet, so I'm not painting her as some tyrant, but we all know moms are awesome, but moms can be scary. Moms can be really scary. I would not mess with moms. So, anyways, I did as all kids do. I grew up, you know, I moved out. And so nowadays, it often feels like my phone is my king. Or like my schedule and my calendar is king. Everything relies on, oh, I gotta put it on the schedule. Oh, it's not on my calendar, so I'm not gonna do it. Or whatever gets me money is my king. So I say that Jesus is my king, but a look at my life, and maybe a look in your life too, might show otherwise a lot of times. So if Jesus is really king, then I am a rebellious knucklehead. And so, I don't know about you guys, but whenever I'm watching like a TV show or a movie or something, where there's like a king or a leader or an emperor that I really, really like, you know, and someone disrespects them, or someone is like a spy or something, or someone just does something bad to them, messes with them, in my head, I was trying to think of like, what's a good example? What is a king that I like in like fiction and stuff? And after like some hours of thinking, of like just wrecking my brain, I decided on King Julian from Madagascar, if you guys know him. So King Julian is a lemur, right? And he's just a great lemur that likes to move it. As a kid growing up, seeing King Julian from Madagascar, it was awesome. And so anytime, if anybody ever messed with King Julian, I was like, no, off to the gallows. Like, you're done. You don't do that. And so I'd be like, I banished them. But I'm really glad that, like, I'm not king because of the things that I would do to squash rebellion. And so in verses 17 through 18, Paul says that Jesus is before all things, and in all things, he holds them all together. And he's the head of the body, he's the beginning, and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. So this is the king that we're talking about. Ultimate power, the Lord, there from the beginning, all-knowing. And yet we commit treason against him almost every single day. We rebel in small ways, or sometimes we just take up arms altogether. We're like, no, I could do this better. We think we can run the place better. We sit in God's kingdom, we look at all the nice walls, all the blessings, and we say, I could do better. I can make it out. I can make it out there on my own. So the craziest thing is that instead of banishing us to like the dungeons or something, or sending us to a distant island, he forgives us. He rescues us from the dominion of darkness and brings us into his kingdom even though we aren't worthy. So he qualifies us to be a part of the kingdom, not what we do. And yet we spend a lot of time living like we're still in the dominion of darkness, right? You know, when you join the church or you get baptized, so one of the things you say is, yes, I renounce the dark powers, the powers of evil. but we still live like we're still under his control. We still live by his beck and call. So Jesus doesn't just save us so that we can go like to heaven with him when we die. He saves us so that we can join him in making this world look a little bit more like heaven. He saves us into the current kingdom of God and for its coming perfection. And as he saves us, he gives us the tools that we need to prosper in this kingdom. So verse 11 tells us that he gives us great endurance and patience through his power. So living a life that's honoring God can be tough when everything is pulling at you, when kids are pulling at you, job, everything else in your life, when everything's pulling on you, it's tough to live that out. But the Holy Spirit makes sure that we don't tackle this alone. So are you spending time with the King? It's kind of hard to make your way through the kingdom if you don't know the King, if you don't have the map. So don't try to do things for God before you even know him or without knowing him, without knowing his guidance. The greatest tool that Jesus gives us to operate in his kingdom is reconciliation with God and everything that he's created. So we can obsess about success, about college applications, about whether our kid is good enough at a sport to make it to college, about just anything of that stuff, a promotion. We can obsess over all those things, but if we are not reconciled to God and to others, we went nowhere. If we make it to the ends of our life and we're rich and we're all this, if we never were reconciled to God and to his people, we didn't even leave the starting line. So Jesus sets that right for us. Success, promotions, higher education, and fun sports, they're all good things, but don't lose sight of the best thing while you're chasing after the just good. Jesus is a king worth following, a king who brings redemption, who brings forgiveness, power, and inheritance as well. So two citizens of the kingdom come to mind that thought that Jesus was not just a king that was worth following, but a king that was worth dying for. So their names are Polycarp and Ignatius, and they're not Pokemon. I know they have really interesting names. But Polycarp was the Greek bishop of Smyrna, and he lived from 69 AD to 155 AD. And so he was a respected leader in the early church, and he has had such a great impact on Christian theology as we know it today. So near the end of his life, he was visiting a bishop in Rome and then was coming back from there, where he was captured by a Roman proconsul. So a proconsul essentially is just like someone, like a Roman official that has kind of the powers, acting powers of a governor. And so he was given an ultimatum. They told him, either renounce Christ, deny Jesus, throw it all away, or praise the emperor as God. If he didn't choose to praise the emperor as God, then he would be burned alive at the stake. And so this was his answer. For 86 years, I have served him, and he has done me no evil. How could I curse my king who saved me? So, of course, he was tied to a stake and sentenced to burn with an audience, a stadium. And so he chose the king. Ignatius was another remarkable citizen of the kingdom. He was the bishop of Antioch, and he lived somewhere between 35 AD and 110 AD. So around 110 AD, he was also met with a grim choice. Either throw his faith in Jesus away or be thrown into a lion's den. So his words were, I am the wheat of Christ, ground by the teeth of beasts to become pure bread. So he was saying that although his body would suffer, he would be made whole and have a new body in heaven. And so sadly, this was not another Daniel moment. It wasn't a moment where he was like miraculously saved from the lion's den. He died that day. He was thrown into the lions. But both him and Polycarp were able to come face to face with Jesus. And I'm sure they were able to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. So these men, they truly lived by the declaration of Jesus is king. They understood that since Jesus was first in service and in sacrifice on the cross, that he was going to be first to be honored as well. So our lives, they tend to be so mundane, like so full to the brim with stuff, that we don't think about the lordship of Christ as passionately as they did. It's kind of an afterthought. But they've extended that baton to us. So running track in high school was probably one of the hardest things that I've ever done in my life. Some deceitful and devious person told me it was the easiest sport you could get into. And that was such a big lie. It was so hard. It was horrible. And so it didn't help the fact that I set slowest record times. The one track meet I went to, I set the slowest record times, and I was just like still blown away. But I'm pretty sure that the opposite team would cheer and clap for me during the races just to make me feel better. And my best friend Kobe, who's over there, can attest to that. He saw a lot of that. But if there was any time like I wasn't good enough to make it to the baton race and track meet, but during practice, if we were doing any sort of practice where it was like relay racing, when I was up next to run and the guy behind me was running, he was sweating, he was like breathing heavy, I knew that I had to give it all I had, regardless of my abilities or my speed. Like, I had to run. I couldn't think about myself. I couldn't think about, whatever, I'm gonna lose anyways. I had to just run. So even if I dropped the baton at the drop-off, or even if like I just awkwardly stumbled out, I had to run because it was important to the team. It was important to the race. And so there have been many great men and women after the 12 apostles, after Polycarp, after Ignatius, that honored Jesus as king in their lives. And if we are willing to reach out our hands and take that baton, then there will be many great men and women to come after us that will honor Jesus as king. So my question is, will you? Will you uplift and praise the true king? Will Jesus be the king of your family, of your job, of your school, of your career, of everything? Or will it be just another, I'll do it another day. Or I'm too busy right now. Or it doesn't fit with my schedule. So what are you going to choose? You're going to choose him as king or something else? So it's there. And he's calling you to it. Glad I didn't break my hand doing that. So I have this freakishly long baton-looking thing right here. And so I want you to look at it, and I want you to see it as that baton that those original disciples, the baton that Polycarp, Ignatius, just great men and women that we talk about still to this day, that chose to honor Jesus as king, that chose to give up their life for Jesus, that chose, like Mother Teresa, just to spend their life giving and giving and giving and serving and serving and serving. Are you going to make Jesus your king? Are you going to take the baton? Even if you stumble, even if you drop, are you going to keep going? Are you going to keep going upholding him as king? Because he's giving you that choice, and it's up to you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that we can look to you as king. Father, help us walk away from this sanctuary, Lord, not just saying that Jesus is king, but truly living it, Lord, truly believing it, and truly aligning our lives to it, Father. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be a part of your kingdom. And Lord, I just pray that as we leave this building, Lord, that we continue to be a church without walls. That we continue to be the church, whether we're traveling for Thanksgiving, whether we're staying at home. Lord, help us to live believing that you are king, trusting that you are king, and living like you are king. In Jesus' name, amen.